I invite you now to turn back with me in the New Testament to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2 and a single verse there, verse 19, where we left off reading last Sunday was verse 18. So Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. And as you can see by the notes that are in your bulletin, we're going to be quickly turning in the Old Testament to the book of Ruth. And so you might want to find that also, because we'll read this verse as a springboard into a wonderful story about a foreigner by the name of Ruth. But not just any foreigner. She was brought into the household and the lineage, the family of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19. I'm in this sermon series entitled Christmas Far and Near. And without Christ, all of us are foreigners to the promises of God. On the screen, you have the verse that comes from Ephesians 2, verse 19. Read there with me. It says, in Ephesians 2:9, on the screen, yes. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. I just want to unpack that verse before we get into Ruth, that she was a foreigner. All the people that she were associated with in the book of Ruth were Jews, but she was from the godless country of Moab, and Moab were sworn enemies to the Jewish nation. They did not help, as a matter of fact, they hindered the children of Israel in their return to the promised land from their wilderness wanderings. They were a country that was formed by an incestuous relationship between Lot and one of his daughters, having a son named Moab, who is also in the family tree of the Lord Jesus Christ. Unbelievable when we see the grace of God in this family tree. But as a Moabitess, she was a person that would have been considered to be an enemy of God. But look at this verse. It says that even though she was a foreigner, she was made to be a member of the household of God. There may be some of you here today, excuse me, that are strangers, aliens, foreigners when it comes to becoming a part of Christ's family. You feel a million miles away, but God can bring you by His grace and His favor, undeserved favor and grace, into His very family this morning. There's no hoops you have to jump through. All you have to do is what Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, and that is to recognize that by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. And so we want to see how this verse in Ephesians 2:19 in this sermon series, Christmas Far and Near, tells us about how Ruth, a foreigner who was afar off from God, came into His very family. So back in Ruth, in the Old Testament, chapter 1 and verse 22. excuse me. It says there on the screen, excuse me. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her. Where did Naomi return to? Well, she was a Jew, and she returned to her home, which was Bethlehem. You see, Naomi and her family had left Bethlehem because there were hard times there. And they went, of all places, to Moab. And things weren't any better in Moab. And while they were in Moab, Naomi's two sons married two Moabitesses. One of them was Ruth. And this is what happened, tragically. Naomi's husband died. And if that weren't enough, the other two sons who had married Moabitesses also died, including Ruth's husband. So they were grief-stricken. This family that had left Bethlehem thinking they were going to find greener pastures in the high, arid, godless country of Moab. I've seen it with my own eyes. It's modern-day Jordan. We were driving along the Dead Sea in the Holy Land, and our tour guide pointed our direction across the Dead Sea to the heights that were on the other side and said, over there you will see what used to be the country of Moab. And so it was a high, dry place, and things got really bad for Naomi and Ruth. And so Naomi hears that there is bread back home in Bethlehem. Very interesting that she would hear there's bread in Bethlehem, because that's what the word means. Bethlehem means house of bread. Anytime you see the word Beth in front of the word, that means house. And so Bethlehem is house of bread. And it would be interesting that years later, Jesus, who called himself in John 6, the bread of life, would be born in Bethlehem. And of course, if we put our faith in him, we'll never have a hungry day the rest of our lives, spiritually speaking, because he totally satiates and satisfies every spiritual need and longing that we have. And so Naomi, this Jew, is determined to go back where she has heard there is bread, go back home. And she encourages Ruth, her daughter-in-law, as a Moabitess, to stay home here in Moab. I mean, this is your familiar surroundings. This is where your family is. You're still young. You can find a young Moabite, and y'all can get married and start a family. Your life's still ahead of you, but mine isn't. I need to go back home to Bethlehem. And tearfully, Ruth begs Naomi to let her go with her to Bethlehem. Here's the application for us today. Without Jesus, we are enemies of God, just like any Moabite was. And we, like Ruth, are far from him. She now would travel as a foreigner to this new land. Now, I want to say something about how far Moab is from Bethlehem. Moab is 30 miles from Bethlehem. Thank you, Amy. What a great wife I have. I have been under the weather, and so I'm not going to be shaking hands at the door today, but thank you, Amy. So, as I was saying, Bethlehem is only 30 miles from Moab. That's not very far. But distances in the Bible are not measured from one place to another. They are measured from how far you are from God. So even though Naomi and her family had only traveled 30 miles away from the people of Israel, they might as well have been a million miles away from God. And now Naomi, this Moabite, this foreigner, is now traveling the 30 miles back to Bethlehem. But with her background being from a country born out of incest and pagan in its worship and antagonistic toward Israel, she might as well have been traveling 1,000 miles to Bethlehem. These two places that were 30 miles apart were worlds apart. And it leads me to ask today, are you a foreigner? Oh, I know most of you have been born in the United States. We have a few exceptions here. But are you a foreigner? I'm not talking about your physical citizenship. I'm talking about spiritually. Are your actions and your spiritual background foreign to the things of God? Foreign to the things and the teachings that are found in the Bible? If they are, you are distant and far from God. You might only be 30 miles away, but all you have to do is take a step of faith in the right direction. And that's what Ruth, this foreigner, would do. She travels as a foreigner to this new land. Now, the second point in your notes is this. She was not only far from home, Ruth, this foreigner, but she was also close to redemption. And look at the scripture that's up on the screen from Ruth 2:20. It said, and Naomi, remember Naomi's the mother-in-law, said to her, Ruth, her daughter-in-law, this Moabitess, this man, we're fixing to find out who this man is. He's an eligible bachelor. He is a Jew. He is an older man, and he is rich. So he says, this man is one of our close, or you might be reading from a translation that says, near relatives. Let me tell you something about this word close or near in the book of Ruth. There's only 85 verses in the book of Ruth. 12 of those 85 verses carry this word close or near in them. The book of Ruth is all about taking this foreigner and bringing her into God's family through marriage, through this close and near relationship. And I want you to know today, Jesus wants to bring you into his family. He is our heavenly Boaz, and he wants to bring you into his family by making you his bride. He's closer than you think, and we'll see that pre-pictured in the life of Boaz. Now, of course, Naomi and Ruth are still widows, and as widows, they need some form of financial support. Naomi's too old to work. Ruth is young, so she goes out and she finds a job, and she goes to work for this man named Boaz, this older guy that's rich and eligible. She might have had in the back of her mind that this guy might be interested in me, and in fact, he was. He saw her working out in the fields one day, and he inquired about her. He was interested in her, and according to chapter 2, verse 10, Ruth finds favor in Boaz's eyes. She was a hard worker. She had a tremendous work ethic. So she finds favor in his eyes. And then she uses a word that's in the title of our message today to describe her in relation to him. She's amazed that he has showered favor upon her. And she says, but I'm a foreigner. What do you have to do with me? You're an Israelite. I'm from Moab. We are your sworn enemies. We have pagan beliefs, rituals, and practices. Why would I have your grace and favor extended to me as one who is outside of the faith that you practice as a Jew? And so this relationship develops as Ruth goes back home, and Naomi finds out that she is working for Boaz, and she says to Ruth that this Boaz fella is closely related to our family by marriage. Let me tell you how closely related he is, Naomi says to Ruth. He's my late husband's close kin. And here's the good news in a Jewish family. Naomi's dead husband lost his estate in Bethlehem. But now this close kinsman named Boaz, who is rich, can redeem that lost estate. He can buy it back. The word redeems, one of the most important words in the book of Ruth. And so he is able to buy it back. And so Naomi, the wheels are turning. She's wondering, this guy that Ruth is working for and he seems to have some interest in her, maybe he's the one. He is the close relationship because he can legally buy back my husband's lost estate and we won't have another financial worry the rest of our lives. Of course, this too is a pre-picture of Jesus being our Redeemer. Because Jesus buys back our lost estate by his sacrifice and payment on the cross of Calvary. He did that out of his love and grace and favor extended toward us, just like Ruth had grace and favor extended upon her. And so if you have never come into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, I want you to know that he will restore the years the locusts have eaten. He will take everything in your life that the devil has taken from you, and he will redeem it. He will buy it back. And you will be better than you ever were before if you would put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Naomi, she had no other choice. Ruth, she had no other options either. And so this is a very touching part of the story as this near kinsman named Boaz comes into the story. The third and final point in your notes is that Ruth, this foreigner, is finally included in Christ's family. You see the progression here? She was far from home. I mean, it started out pretty hopeless. But then she had a little glimmer of hope in finding out that she was close to redemption. She was close to having her lost estate brought back, and now she's included in Christ's family. In fact, Boaz does redeem the lost estate of her family and marries Ruth. The couple then blesses Naomi. I'm using my words carefully because I'm saying exactly what the scripture says. Ruth has the baby, but Naomi, her mother-in-law, is considered to be the blessed one. The grandmother is considered to be the blessed one, as you see in this slide. She is filled with joy, anticipation, excitement about this little baby that has come into her family because it too represents everything she had lost in losing her husband and losing her two sons. Now God has blessed her daughter-in-law with this baby. And the older man that's looking over the younger Ruth's shoulder is Boaz, and he's thrilled that he has this little bitty baby. And the Bible tells us there in Ruth 4, in verse 17, that this baby's name was Obed. And Obed, it gives us his genealogy there. He would be the father of someone named Jesse. You see the family tree here. As a matter of fact, just look at it a while. You might have to focus your eyes a little bit. But look at the yellow squares. To the far right yellow square, you see Ruth's name. You see how she was descended from Moab, who was an incestuous offspring of Lot. But here's Ruth, a Moabite. She marries Boaz, who was related to Elimelech, Naomi's late husband. So this is how all this works out. He was a close relationship, eligible to buy back, redeem the lost estate of Elimelech, and marries Ruth. And Ruth has a child named Obed. And then he will have a child, this is prophetically, named Jesse. This is where the names get a little bit more familiar to us, because we think we remember about Jesse in the Bible, because the reason we do is he was the father of David, the shepherd boy David, who became King David. And he is a direct line of descendants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, just look at that family tree for a while and just think how amazing it is that Lot, who committed incest with his daughter, to have a kid named Moab, who would become a godless nation, would sacrifice babies in their pagan rituals, would then have an offspring or a descendant named Ruth, a Moabite, that would be included in the ancestry of the Lord Jesus Christ. How wonderful. It reminds me of the verse we began with today. On the screen, I'll have them put back up Ephesians 2, verse 19, and remind you of what it says, and see how this now lives out in the story of Ruth. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners. Yeah, Ruth is no longer a foreigner, but fellow citizens with the saints, and look at this, and members of the household of God. She's not only just a lost pagan foreigner in her former condition, but now she has been included in the household of God. That word household can also be translated family. She's in the family of God. Now, here's the amazing thing about other people who are in Christ's family tree. It's recorded over in Matthew chapter 1. Don't turn there. But an amazing fact is there are four women listed in Christ's family tree. Three of them, like Ruth, are foreigners. It's bad enough that Ruth was a Moabitess, but one of the other foreigners was a girl by the name of Tamar. She used trickery and acted as a prostitute to gain a foothold toward the blessing that she deserved. And so she's included in this family tree. So three foreigners. Who's the third foreigner? Rahab. She didn't play the prostitute. She was a prostitute. She was a harlot. You go to Matthew chapter 1, you'll see that she's one of the ancestors of Jesus Christ. The only Jewish woman, and by the way, it's amazing that Matthew, a very Jewish book, would even include women's names to begin with. Because, as we talked last Sunday, gender discrimination was alive and well in Bible days. And so to have four women included in Christ's family tree was, it just blew everyone's mind. And especially these kind of women, they're like a rogue's gallery of sinners. The fourth woman was a Jew. Oh, well, it's getting better. Her name was Bathsheba. She's the one that committed adultery with King David and was complicit in the execution of her own husband, Uriah. She was so poorly looked upon that in Christ's family tree in Matthew chapter 1, they don't even mention her by name. They don't say Bathsheba. They say the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Uriah was her rightful husband, whom David had killed so that he could commit adultery with her. Finally, they got married. Wow. All of these awful people in Christ's family tree, let me ask you something. If God can include all these awful people in his sinless son's own family tree, Don't you think he can do the same thing for you? If God can do what he did for Ruth, don't you think he can do the same thing for you? The devil's already gotten in between your ears and convinced you that you're not good enough. You've done too many bad things to ever be included in God's family. It's not true. It's a lie out of the pit of hell. All you have to do is respond by faith to the gracious message and offer that's being made to you today. For by grace, you can be saved through faith, not good works, but through believing in Christ and acting upon that. And if you will do that, you'll be saved today. There are some here today that are lost. They're foreigners. They need to come into the family. And then there are some here today who, like Ruth, have been redeemed. You're a Christian. God has saved you. But you're looking for a church home. You're looking for a place to serve with your life and ministry. You know, I said a couple of weeks ago, everybody needs three homes. None of them cost you a mortgage. Everyone needs a happy earthly home. You see the insert in the bulletin today. We're having a conference coming up on how to strengthen your marriage. I hope you'll be a part of that. That's what First Baptist is all about, giving you a happy earthly home, helping you in that regard. That everybody needs a church home. And if you're just kind of out there floating in no man's land and you don't have a church home, I invite you to come and be a part of our church family. But the most important home you'll ever have is a heavenly home. And the only way you can have a heavenly home is by being redeemed and trusting Jesus as your Savior. And you can do that very thing today, right here today, as we pray together. Dear Father, we thank you for this time of commitment. We thank you for this, your invitation, and we ask that you would draw people to yourself, that you would take those who are living so far away from you, those who are foreigners to the things of God and the Bible, and redeem them and bring them into your family. Father, I pray that you would also bring people into the life of this church, and that it all be for your glory. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.